Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So stand, if you will. Let's go before Him in prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for the call in our hearts, Lord, to come into Your temple, Lord, and sing praises unto You and hear Thy precious word. Lord, we're so thankful for the peace in the time of trouble. Lord, we're so thankful for the revelation You've freely given. Lord, so much to thank You for in this day and age. Lord, we just, Lord, hand this service over to You. Everything that's said and done, only be said and done for Your glory and Your honor. And we'll give You all the praise and glory due unto You. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 80 in our little capstone book. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must try. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a hurt can harm me. It's the last mile you must draw. I'll go to live in that city He's prepared me. Shelter safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not of earth can harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Amen. So thank you. Praise His name. Page 19, same book.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you.
Amen.
List to His voice, leave Him with your care, and begin life anew. Oh,
74. You love this little chorus?
Yes.
There is a
His guiding hand.
wonderful Jesus, bright morning star. Sing out again.
Amazing grace. Amen. Precious Lord, we just are so thankful to be able to come in, Lord, and together with saints of like precious faith. And Lord, just to feel your presence and know that you're here with us. And Father, as we come to this little portion of Scripture, Lord, that we'll read and renew our minds back to, Lord, we're just asking that some way through it, Lord, you would just strengthen and encourage. Father, help us to keep pressing, for Lord, we're nearing the end, and the end is in sight. Father, we just ask your blessings upon your word and just pray that you would have yours in the remaining of the service, would have the preeminence. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm happy to be here. Amen. I pray you are as well. Hallelujah. A little Thursday evening and get to come in and just refresh. Amen. It's precious. While you're still standing, if you want to, we'll turn our Bibles to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Read a portion of Scripture. I think it was the last time I ministered, we were talking about looking unto Jesus and kind of used a little the message Brother Bram brought. Just like to kind of put a few things with that to finish it up. I kind of cut off, but just so thankful for what God is doing. And you know, it's just so wonderful. But think about this as Paul is speaking, 12th chapter, 1st verse. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. Yes. How, as we were kind of pointing in the last service, that we're looking to Jesus. We're not looking to no man. We're not looking to Paul. You go back through the Scriptures, and it was always pointing to Jesus Christ. The theme of the Bible, he is the theme, the principal theme, and he should be the principal theme of our walking and our talking. Yes, and everything we do, he should be the first and foremost. And, you know, I pray you've been meditating on the things our pastor brought Sunday, and I pray that's still fresh in your heart. What a question, you know, if you just a little bit of a recap, but what do you believe? Yes. You know, it's wonderful to say, well, I believe what Paul believed. Or I'm going to believe what Brother Branham believed. Or I'm going to believe, but what do you truly believe? Yes. And does it anchor in your heart? It's easy to try to attach to somebody and go along with them, but let the trials and tests start to get a little tough, and then it gets a little hard to hold on to what somebody else might have. And you know, as you look back as Paul, right before, as he was going through Hebrews, the 11th chapter, talking about faith, and just to put this with this, it was pressing on my heart as I was setting back there, about 11th chapter, and we'll just grab here about the 32nd verse and read down to the 39th before Paul said this. But he said, what shall I more say? For time would fail to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Japheth, and of David also, and of Samuel and his prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, and waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. And they were stoned, and they were sawed asunder. They were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So just think, God continuing to go on, all back through history, you can see God declaring. And you think about Paul, Abel, by faith, offered unto God, and more excellent, it was revealed to him. He knew what he believed, and it didn't matter. And it came into it, he died. But yet him being dead, his life and testimony lived on, showing truly what he believed. Amen. Just a little something to throw in there. But if you would, I'm going to turn to Galatians 1, kind of pop back into... So we had read where Paul was telling them about, you know, you say I'm of Peter, I'm of Apollos, but I like Paul's stance here in Galatians as we think about him being the first messenger to that first church age. And just the strength that was in Paul, for he knew, look at all he had done and all that he had come through in his life and everything that had happened, but then come to face to face with Jesus Christ and the change that took over and the Holy Spirit being filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, what a change it brought to his life, and what a boldness and a steadfastness it brought, a peace that passeth all understanding.
Yes.
But as he began to say here, he said, but in Galatians 1, and start at that 8th verse, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, as I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do now I persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a steadfastness, and what a place to stand as he had come to this point. And you know, we see Brother Branham come on the scene, and God, through that wrapping up all the loose ends, yes, and bringing revelation to you and I, to be able to look back into this Bible, and it didn't become a book of mystery, but it began to begin, it opened it up and showed Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end. Yes. It took out the myths, it took out the, we'll call it legends, so to speak, or maybe men's ideas, or how they felt about different parts and pieces, and God give us a direct revelation to show us, here is where it lays, and this is how it all folds together.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we can get a little puffed up in ourselves and think, boy, I've got a lot, I understand a lot. But just think, if it wasn't for God's amazing grace and the eyes that he imparted, how much we would have not seen and how blinded we would have been. And you still see that today. You see it as when Jesus came, how many were blinded to the things that he said, and they were blinded to who he was. They couldn't see him. They couldn't recognize him. And he was fulfilling every scripture that was written of him and all the prophets had foretold. But this is in the Patmos vision. I just want to catch a little something to go with this, as we realize Paul was the first messenger, and realizing that Brother Branham was that messenger to the Laodicean age and all the ones in between. I'm not going to name them all, but just to realize that God in restoration began to bring in each age everything that had to happen, the way it had to fall into place, and to see that take place, and then to see where we're standing today. But listen, as Brother Branham, he goes here, I'll just catch it right here as he starts at the top. I just thought this was good as I was reading this. He says, and in his right hand, seven stars. Now, of course, we already know from verse 20 that the seven stars actually were in the mystery of the seven stars are the angel messengers of the seven church ages. And we couldn't make a mistake here on any account as he interprets it for us. Amen. Yeah. What a great thing it is if we just let God interpret it for us.
Amen.
From the beginning to the end.
Yes.
If we'll just be humble and in humility and cry out, Lord, open up my heart.
Yes.
But he says these seven stars are the messengers to the seven successive ages. And they're not called by name. They are just set forth as seven, one to each age, from the Ephesian age down to the Laodicean age. Each messenger brought the message of truth to the people, never failing to keep it, the word of God, to that particular age. Let me make sure I did. I think I missed a line there. He says, from the Ephesian down to the Laodicean age, each messenger brought the message of truth to the people, never failing to keep it to the word of God to that particular age. And each one held to it. They were steadfast in their loyalty to that original light. And as each age pulled away from God, his faithful messenger turned that age back to the Word. And their strength was from the Lord, or they never could have stemmed the tide. They were safe in his care, for nothing could pluck them out of his hand, and neither could anything separate them from the love of God. Let it be sickness, peril, nakedness, famine, sword, life or death. They were truly yielded to him and kept by his omnipotence. And they were not concerned about the persecution that came their way. Pain and derision was but cause to give glory to God that they were counted worthy to suffer for him. And in thankfulness for his salvation, they burned with light of his life and reflected his love, patience, meekness, temperance, gentleness, and faithfulness. And God backed them up with wonders, signs, and miracles. They were accused of being fanatics and holy rollers. They were denounced by their organizations and held in mockery, but they kept true to that word. Amen. Amen. They had it anchored in them. They were not looking to some man, but they had their eyes and attention focused on Jesus Christ and the price that he had paid for them and the work that he had done in their life. And he says, it's not hard to stand up and keep true to a creed. It is easy, for the devil is right behind all that. But it's something else to be true to God's word and go back to that word originally produced after Pentecost. Amen. And as we see, we're living in that time where everyone's looking, it seemed to be looking back. And Brother Branham made that comment time and time again. Man is always praising God for what he's done, looking to what he will do, and missing what he's doing now.
Yeah.
And how we see the age in which we're living, we see many looking back and trying to live in a glare of an age gone by and a movement God was doing. You know, we could all pack up and go to Egypt tonight and stand at the Red Sea, but that was for a different time and place. It ain't going to work today. We could all go out and try to build a boat and prepare for a flood. No, that day's come and gone. We're moving on. God is progressive. His plan is rolling, and it just keeps moving, and it keeps moving, and he reveals himself a little here and a little there. And just think about it. He's going to reveal himself throughout eternity. Oh, what a... Just think... What we receive here and what we know and what we understand. But then to have him open up and just start to show us the things that... Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Amen. What a day it's going to be. And what an excitement ought to be burning in our heart to realize that that's a reality that's fixing to be. And if I haven't started to make my preparations to truly know that I do believe this word and I am following this word and I'm doing everything that I've been told to do to make sure that I'm going to be there. It's highly important that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And his guiding for what he has for each one of us.
Amen.
As he leads us. This was in the Turn on the Light, preached January 25th, 1964. And just to catch as we think about it, he says, we can't live by yesterday's light. Yesterday's light is history, and we know nothing about it. You can't get warm today by the sun that shined yesterday. That's what's the matter with the churches today. That's what's the matter with the people. They're trying to live by what happened yesterday, and you can't warm by a painted fire. Certainly not. It has no heat in it. Yesterday's sun has no heat in it. The sunlight is sent to the earth in the natural to ripen the grain for the advancing harvest, and each day brings forth a new sun. And the sun that's shining today, bringing that wheat up in Canada, that same sun, well, if it hadn't, I didn't have no more sun than that this coming July or August, it could never ripen the grain. It's got to be stronger and more powerful, and each day it grows and matures to bring the grain on.
Yes.
Now, if the grain itself, if it begins to mature, the grain comes on and it stays right with the grain, it only builds the grain. And each day the husk around it, the part calcium and whatever goes in, builds right into the grain as the sun gets stronger. But you take the sun that shines in August and put it on the wheat today, it would kill it. Certainly, you can't do that. It must come in its season. So must God's wheat and grain ripen just in the season it's in. But in the wheat, well, the sun, he says the fruits would die. The sun that lives today, that shines today rather, it's the oncoming harvest is ripening and the grain should mature with the light.
Yes.
But the thing is today, the church grain don't want to mature. It wants to stay like it was back in Moody's time. Sankey, Finney, Knox, Calvin, they were all right. They were the light of the hour. But this is another hour. This is another day. This is the advancement of the gospel. It's coming to its maturity. We can't live in what Luther said, Wesley said, or some of the rest of them, but we're living in the light that's predicted for this day.
Amen.
And we're in the seventh church age, not the third or the fourth church age. The grain should be able to receive it, and if it doesn't, it falls off and it means nothing. The grain is matured with the light if it goes ahead with the light. And you can look back through and see God sent Paul, and Paul brought the word of the Lord and set it in order. And then you watch as he began to restore with Luther and then to Wesley. You watch, they didn't bring something new. They went back to the foundation and began to build back the things that was already there. And God, by the movement of the Holy Spirit, restored the gifts back into the church. And then he sent a message to a bride to prepare her, to get her ready for the great catching away.
Yes,
and through all of that, God did many things to catch that little bride's attention. To show her that he was God and that there's no promise in that Bible that's been done away with.
Yes.
Everything that's laying in there, he said, belongs to that little bride. For whatever she has need of at the time and place, God sees her.
Yes.
So, don't stop to think that I can't get a healing today because it's laying there. Amen. What I have need of, that blood, that stripes were bore for that. It don't matter. You say, I can't be filled with the Holy Ghost. I can't have a desire like that. That's nonsense. It lines right up with the Word. Oh my, how you can look and see. As he said, get in Christ and watch what he'll do for you. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to fight. If you'll just yield and come God's provided way, you watch what he'll do for you.
Yes.
Amen. As he goes on here, he says, but this is another hour. This isn't, let me drop down. He says, so should the church bring forth the bread of each age that Jesus commanded, that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the bread that we need today is in the Bible. It's the complete revelation of God's plan. It's the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. We add nothing to it or take anything from it. And whosoever does, his name will be taken out of the book of life. We don't need any creeds to add to this. It's written just the way it was supposed to be. And we don't add nothing to it, take nothing from it, preach it just the way it is, and God is, and will manifest it. And every promise that he promised, he will manifest it just the same. We're not supposed to take from it or add to it. Just leave it the way it is, he says. Amen. And if we'll, but, you know, look at what God spoke to us through Brother Branham. If you can find one place where God ever saved one person, he's got to save the next one the same way.
Amen.
If you can find one place he healed one person, he's got to heal the next one the same way. If you come on the same grounds and meet God's requirements, he's obligated to his word. And oh my, what a confidence that ought to give us. What a boldness it ought to place in us to be a people that maybe I need a healing, maybe I need something, but to cry out to God that, Lord, increase my faith, that this thing would happen, Lord, in my life, not for the benefit of that I would be somebody, but Lord, that I could bring glory back to your name and prove today, Lord, I could be one. When you look back through it, all the examples that through faith, all of them, Who were they looking to? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
They had their eyes on a goal and the purpose for which they were sent. And look at the life that God was manifesting himself through and making it known that he was the great I am through every act that they were able to achieve.
Amen.
They didn't do that in themselves. God was doing the work.
Amen.
They were just a representative that was there at the time, a vessel that could be used. And today it's your turn, my turn. It's our turn to express. We're not looking to a church. We're not looking to some man. But we're looking to Jesus Christ to put the fulfillment of this word in my body and in your body. And to bring it to its full manifestation that we would truly be a people that would be walking written epistles read of all men. Amen. As time goes on, you know, you see more and more how we've seen people go out and testify and try to witness to people and try to bring them in. We've seen it all down through. And there was a time and a place where that was what was going on more so than it is today. And still, if God leads you to witness to somebody, God's still more than able to lead you to the right person in the right time to do the right thing.
Yes,
not saying that at all. But as Brother Smith, when he was here, as he used that little saying, preach always and just use words when necessary. Oh my, if we could but let our lives truly be that ministering gospel of the life of Jesus Christ flowing from us. Oh, what it will do for those around that can witness that and see it take place. Amen. Let's go here to Romans, the 12th chapter, as we think about Paul. I know it might sound like I went a little bit different than looking, but it's still all about looking to Him,
yes,
the Word, for the increase of our faith, to the increase of the revelation of His Word that will bring us to that final maturity and the change of this body. But here in Romans, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Yes.
And so, Paul encouraging us here to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I want you to think how Peter even put it, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you know them, and be established in the present truth. He was going to make sure that I'm going to do my part. And as we're ministering today and bringing back the things that have been written and the things that have been said, we may sound like we're just repeaters, and that's fine if that's all it sounds like. But that was God's provided way, and as we are reading this to us, how it ought to strike our hearts. And how God is the one that's here to give the increase. It's His Holy Spirit that's here to reveal the Word every time we gather in.
Yes.
In the message, Power of Transformation. And I was thinking about this. Brother Branham never preached this till October 31st. It was the first time he really went into this and brought this message out. But as he began to say a few things here at the very beginning to go with this, as we're looking to God for the increase. And I want you to think about that. The Holy Spirit ever present. Ever here to answer whatever need we have. But he says, paragraph 49, in first chapter, in Genesis, the first chapter, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We realize, and the Bible said in the beginning back there, that this world was without form, and it was void, and there was nothing but just darkness and chaos. What a horrible shape it must have been in. Nothing but in the way of darkness yonder, without light or anything. And the churning of the water and that wandering star twisted around and around the orbits out there somewhere, it must have been a terrific mass of something lost like it was, and it couldn't find its way. And that's what we become when we become wandering stars away from God, just without hope, without God, without just churning around out in darkness, not knowing when or where we're going. And I remember being in a time, Lord, where am I headed? What is this? What are you trying to show me? Where are you leading me to? But let the Holy Spirit come down and get into your life. Maybe you're sitting underneath the anointing of the preaching and of the Word, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just bring and enlighten your understanding. And oh, it takes the chaos that may have been in your mind, the confusion, it just dissipates. And watch it just hone right down to God's precious Word. He says, and God took that great chaos of darkness and transformed it into a Garden of Eden, see, by His Word. And that's how we're transformed, by God's Word. When God said, let there be light, and that mass of creation out there come over and around the sun and began to revolve around the sun, it became a Garden of Eden because it obeyed the Word of God. It done the perfect will of God, for it was transformed from chaos into a Garden of Eden by the Word of God. And that's what we are here for. That's my message, and has been all along, is the Word of God. We must hold to that regardless of what other things take place. Always stay with the Word and always check your motive and objectives if it's according to the Word of God. If it isn't, just leave it alone. But look, if we'll just look to Him, if we'll just turn our attention and our focus, each and every one, it don't matter how long we've been serving Him or how long maybe we haven't been serving Him or maybe we're looking, but if we'll turn our full attention to Him,
yes,
and totally focus out, it's, you know, sometimes it's easy to maybe being a young person, so to speak, and coming along, and you see all kinds of things happening. The world's over here. The churches are over here. This church is here. This is all. And you begin to get that evolving. What's right? Who's right? Where do I go? Who do I lean on? Where do I reach for? Well, there's only one place to reach, and it's a prayer closet in Jesus Christ on our knees, asking God to show us and to lead us and to guide us into all truths. He's the only one. You know, Daddy and Mommy can point you in the right direction. Our pastor will point you in the right direction. But at the end of the day, it takes you wanting and seeking and God drawing on your heart to get to where we're at tonight, each and one of us. We can't do it on ourselves. And as bad as our pastor would like to give every one of us the full, what's burning in his heart and what God's revealed to him as an individual, he can't place it in us. But if we'll cry out to God and each one of us have a hungry heart,
God, through our pastor, will take that precious word and bring it in due season to every little sheep, every little, we're all growing, and you watch it just come and do the work, but you've got to surrender to what God is trying to show us. And so oftentimes, as I said, as I was reading the last service, we block God out, we harden ourselves up. Soon as it starts to touch us, or we start to feel a little ill, like, I think he's talking about me, we shut God off. But don't shut him off. Just open your heart and say, Lord, I see my need. And watch what God will do for us if we'll but yield to him. He just wants to break down our old crusty hearts. You know, it's how it truly is. When God has truly broke you down and brings you, sometimes you have to get pretty low. But I'll tell you one thing you'll never forget is the grace of Jesus Christ. When you've had to come the hard way, sometimes it's a way that will always stay. And you'll always be thankful when you can look back and see what he's done for you.
Yes.
Amen. But we want to keep our attention on Jesus Christ, on the Word, not on an idea, not on a person. Not the Scripture says to follow them that obey them that have the rule over you, following the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may we truly look at that, always back to the Word, every time. This was in the message, The Great Shining Light, preached in 57. And as Brother Branham was talking about the Magi here as they were following the star and looking for that little child that was to be born. Paragraph 59, we'll just read the whole thing to catch what he's saying. He said, and as those Magi stood spellbound as they watched that light, I can hear one say to the other, oh, isn't this a magnificent token that something is just about to happen? And truly today also, when we come in the presence of the Lord Jesus, it's a divine token that something is about to happen. His glorious second coming is at hand. And when they looked to one another after a while, they watched it perhaps all night and how it gleamed, and it seemed to be brighter than the other stars. It seemed like they couldn't take their eyes off of it to look at any other star. And I'm sure if we see that great eternal light shine into our face, we will not look at our denominations to say we're Baptist or we're Presbyterian or we're Pentecostal or whatever it might be. We'll only look to the light and live, and he is that eternal light. And as they watched it, when the sun finally rose through the day, and he said, as they watched it, the sun finally rose, and through the day they sleep. I've watched them sitting in the streets in India with their limbs crossed and their heads together, and in the daytime they would sleep, and at nighttime they'd go watch the stars, watching for any movement. It's only those who look for him that shall see him. It's only those who believe in him shall enjoy his blessings. It's only those who believe in healing that shall receive healing. It's only those who believe in salvation shall obtain it. All things are possible to them that believe. But at first, it must not just be drawn up a fleshly idea. It must be a direct revelation sent from God alone. And as we watch, we find night after night they watched it. They discussed it. They looked at the scriptures in searching. So type it with us today. As we've seen this great light and seen this, the hour in which we're living and what we're looking for in our day. And he says, and they watched it, they discussed, they looked at the scriptures, and in searching I can see one coming saying, here's another Hebrew writing. It comes from one of their prophets by the name of Balaam, and said, there shall rise a star to Jacob. And they seen the scriptures being fulfilled, and oh, how their hearts rejoiced.
Yes.
And how our hearts should rejoice when we see the chaos this world has got into. When we see the hour in which we're living and the lateness, it should really bring an excitement to us. And how it ought to stir our hearts to be looking and watching God's precious word. And as we find that, oh, here's a scripture, here's a quote, all that goes beautifully with this, how it ought to just churn within our hearts as we're looking to this. And he says how it should make our hearts rejoice to know that in this evil day that we're now living, to see God's holy writ being fulfilled and revealed to us in such a great searching light over our being. And how it ought to cause such a stir in our hearts to truly be looking to him. And to be looking to at every promise, every word. Is it being fulfilled? Do I see it in my life? Do I see it lining up? Am I matching what God said should be? Just as that night in Egypt, as they were eating the Passover and to put the blood over the door, how carefully they were making sure every instruction that had been handed down to them, they were matching up to it. They were reviewing it. Not trying to find a new way to put the blood over the door. No, they did it just exactly the way the instructions were handed down.
Amen.
And every example back through that scripture, when you look back and you see Noah, he didn't try to find a different kind of wood. He didn't try to find it just a little bit. Well, if I'd go just a little bit longer, it'd work just a little bit better. No, he built it exactly to God's instructions. And if we will but follow the instructions of God right to the letter, all these old bodies one day are going to change. Amen. And what a day it's going to be. I'm looking forward to it. But may we keep our eyes on him and focused to what he would have for us in this last hour. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Just a little exhortation. Pray you can take a little something from it this evening. Pray God will encourage us and keep us pressing on. And may we truly buckle down and truly weigh ourselves in God's precious word. And to realize that it's an individual affair, and I've got to know.
Amen.
And not to put it off, and not to wait, not to wonder. But today is the day that I want to know that I'm hidden in those pages. Amen. And my life is matching up 100%.
Amen.
Let's all stand, if you would.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just so thankful for what he's done. Let's just sing that little chorus, Amazing Grace, again, but we'll sing the verses with it. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
So many songs that run through your mind, and just, oh, it's so precious to be able to feel his presence. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
Let's sing a little chorus too. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
praises to Him. We appreciate the word tonight. Trust that we each have been able to search our hearts and found something in our own lives we can draw closer to the Lord. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've made this opportunity for us this evening. We truly count it a great privilege. Lord, we can gather here in one, in unity of the Spirit and in the truth of the Word. And Lord, not with a bunch of our own interpretations, Father, only but what the Holy Spirit has interpreted through us by fulfilling Your Word, Lord. We just ask that You would help each one of us now, Lord, as we're ending the end of our journey in this life. Lord, we know that the appearing of the Lord is getting so close. And Lord, we don't know, as we've said before, we don't know the exact day or the hour. But Lord, we just know, seeing everything that's being fulfilled, it's getting so close. May You change our attitudes, Lord, to a place to where we're anxious and longing for the appearing of the Lord and loving it and just waiting with great expectations that what moment could it be? Is this the next few moments? Or, Father, we'd be looking for the revelation, that rapture in our hearts, and that these bodies would change in a moment twinkling by. May all these things, Lord, be a part of a reality in our life that we'd be constantly conscious of. So we appreciate You now, Lord, and so thankful again for everything You've blessed us with, and knowing You'll continue to bless us if we'll just surrender our life to You. Just be with us as we travel the roads, Lord, and bring us back in the next appointed time if You tarry. And may we come again hungering for the Word of God. We appreciate You now, Lord. All glory to Your name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Love You, Lord. Amen. May God be with you, protect you, keep you safe.